The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Tell me about the Provisions Project. I've known Annette for a while. She used to work at Mercury One. And she said, listen, I want to tell you about the Provisions Project and some of the interesting stuff going on. So what is the Provisions Project?
So the Provisions Project is a nonprofit that was founded out of the floods of 2016, August, Louisiana. And we really just realized that there's a real need in Louisiana to continue those long-term efforts to rebuild. I mean, we're still in the rebuild phase, believe it or not, 2 years later. Mm-hmm. So that organization, the Provisions Project, was born out of the floods of 2016. And we just felt that there was more of a need to have a Louisiana-based organization on the ground doing what we could do for disaster response and for that community, for that state. So
how much, I mean, you're still doing cleanup and there's a lot more to do. How much longer is something like this going to take?
Oh, I mean, you know, the recovery phase can be anywhere from a minimum of 2 years to 6 to 8 years. A lot of it just depends on the magnitude of the disaster. We are probably 50% completed with our projects. But once again, this is 2 years after the floods, and we've probably got another 9 to 10 months to go to finish off the rest of those projects. There are still some counties that are like Livingston and some of the counties, because I live in a county. It's actually parishes in Louisiana that are still in that full-fledged recovery rebuild stage. And it's just a long process. Some of it has to do with just the red tape that takes place, the longevity, the lack of supplies, especially when you've got hurricane seasons, you've got flood seasons, you've got those sorts of things that habitually happen every year. That focus is taken off of whatever disaster happened 2 years ago, even though there's still rebuilding that needs to be done. You know, the supplies, the resources, the volunteers all move on to the next disaster. So that's part of the problem. That is part of the problem.
So you keep this going. I mean, assuming donations are always important, right? And volunteers.
Huge.
For different projects.
Absolutely. They are. And the good thing about it is just having those relationships with those other nonprofit organizations that we can call upon to say, hey, you know, we need 50 volunteers, you know, for 2 weeks to come help us rebuild this section of a neighborhood, that kind of thing. So, you know, just being able to have those relationships with those organizations makes a huge difference, because they can call upon, they can say, well, you know what, we've got spring break coming, we've got summer coming. Let's send in this group of volunteers to help and assist with that rebuild process. So it's just an ongoing effort, and we realize that we understand that it's having to have a lot of patience through the whole process. But the good thing about what is happening is that in the last year, we have forged a relationship with the Louisiana Governor's Office. It's the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Doc, you know as well as I do how I feel about government, how I feel about its involvement, but I will tell you that I have been incredibly impressed with the way Louisiana is responding to the need of that area. And they're realizing that there really is a need to bring in those volunteer organizations, those responding organizations that continue to respond every time, and forge a partnership. And that's what they've asked us to do.
See, this is one of the reasons I want to have you on to talk about this, because it's important. First mm-hmm. of all, that people still need help, and we hope you'll donate, and we'll tweet out a link to how people can help you out. Second of all, because it's good to remember that when one of these disasters happen, The media rushes there and they cover it because it's sensational. Sometimes they'll go visit a month later or whatever because it's a good follow-up story. But most of the work is done for years, and that's when they need help. But third, and this is really important for our audience, and that is you're doing things different because you're starting to privatize more of this stuff that the government used to do, right? I mean, this is kind of what you're doing with this.
Absolutely. The governor's office a few months ago asked the Provisions Project to venture into a partnership with them. And essentially what we would be doing is we would be the liaison between that office, the GOSEP office, which is the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. We just shorten it. That office and responding organizations. And in our meetings, what has been so interesting and what's been so forthcoming is that they realize that government, that state office realizes that government is not trusted, and it's not well-liked, and it's not well-received. And so they understand that. So what they want to do is they want to put an organization like ours in the middle to buffer so that we can help assist with the new project that the state is coming up with for a rebuild effort, almost like a standard operating procedures sort of thing. They want to put this into place into law, but what they want to do is they want an organization like ours to stand in between that office and responding organizations for the communication factor.
So what you were able to do, and I knew this had been going on for years when it comes to charities, especially disaster relief charities or any charity that has anything to do with disaster relief, the network that you've put into place, you and others as well, between charities to say, hey, we're all in this. We're all trying to help. We do this really well, and you do that really well. So can you handle that, and we'll handle this, and maybe we get this other charity involved to help this thing out. You've been doing that in other charities for a long time, and it's particularly important when it comes to disaster relief charities because you never know what your needs are going to be, and it's got to be instant.
It does have to be instant. And what they realize, and we realized this in Harvey when we were responding to Harvey, it was that everybody runs to the epicenter. Everybody runs to the epicenter of where the disaster happens, which is normal, which is what we hope for, which is where we hope most of the attention goes. But what we realized was that there were outskirts of areas like Beaumont, Vidor, some of these other areas, Pasadena, Port Aransas, some of these areas on the outskirts that were not receiving aid. They hadn't received aid in 2 weeks. And so the focus for what we're going to be doing with the governor's office and how this all sort of plays a role is we will be working in conjunction with the governor's office at the time of disaster in Louisiana, but we will be working alongside the Louisiana VOAD, which is the another volunteer organization that helps bring in these resources and these volunteers. And so we'll be working alongside them, but what we'll be doing is filling in the gaps. So those places that are not getting the relief that they need, we'll take our partnering organizations and send them that direction, hot meals, resources, volunteers for mucking and gutting, search and rescue, all those sorts of things. So that will be the role that we'll play in sort of filling those gaps, sending resources in areas that are needed. And also, one of the things that I'm truly passionate about, and you know this, Doc, because we've talked about this, is how instrumental the churches are in disaster.
Oh, yeah.
And so we will be working very closely with our churches that are in those disaster zones, that are in and around the disaster zones, that want to contribute, that want to bring in volunteers, that want to come in and serve hot meals, those sorts of things. And, you know, I mean, churches, they know their communities, they're at the center of their communities, and they get the compassion that's needed at that time when people are going through one of the worst times of their lives.
This is something that I think most people don't recognize, how churches and smaller organizations that try to help the problems they have. So let's say you got a local church in Walla Walla, Washington that wants to help out Houston when Harvey came through. And they've got, you know, a dozen people there. So first of all, if you want to volunteer, you got to get those people there. So it's a travel expense. And then where are they staying once they're there? So volunteering is awesome, but it's a logistical nightmare. So let's say the church says, we're just going to do a fundraiser. We're really passionate. We want to help our fellow man, help out some Houstonians. And we've raised 10 grand. That's a lot of money to help. Where do you give it? They don't have the infrastructure themselves to say, we're going to take $10,000 worth of hot meals. They don't. So you got to partner with somebody else. And there is this whole structure that's in place that unless you are a mammoth charity that already does certain things, there's no way to spend the money on the things you want to. So you have to partner with people. And that's the genius of what you and others have been able to put together.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And of course, you know, I've been on the ground. I've witnessed some things that I wish I had never seen before in times of disaster. But I've also witnessed just the absolute good in humanity, and so that's been probably some of the biggest blessing in my life. And they always say, you know, that you either love disaster response or you don't. And when it bites you, when that bug bites you, it stays with you. And it really has for me, for sure. And so much of it is about those partnerships that we have with other organizations, with churches, you name it, across the country. And so they make it all worthwhile. They truly do. And so, as a matter of fact, I'm heading to Louisiana next week because the bill that is going to be heard, which is House Bill 358. This is sort of that framework, standard operating procedure structure that we've been working on with the governor's office.
So real quick, before I forget, can people help you with that or help, you know, get attention for the bill?
Yes. As a matter of fact, if they will just look up the bill, like I said, it's House Bill 358. And if they can look that up, if they can call their state representatives, if they can share their support for that. The other avenue of how they can help is that through this partnership with the governor's office, unfortunately, there's no funding.
Right.
There's no funding for us to do this. And we will have to put more staffing in place. We will have to get a software program in place to be able to collect data. Volunteer hours, resources, all that sort of thing, and it's a monumental task. It's pretty expensive. It's well over $30,000 just for the software, and so we are definitely going to need funding for this. What I call almost like an initial startup for this project with the governor's office. Now there could be funding down the road in a year or two.
What information do we need to have? Where can we find out how to donate and also information on the bill or to help promote the bill?
Yes, it's www.theprovisionsproject.org is our website where you can donate to help us out with this project. The House bill, they can certainly find that online. We've not posted anything on our website just yet as of today. But the House bill is House Bill 358. And certainly they can find that information online. That House bill is really intended to build a framework that allows for volunteer and government to work together.
Awesome. So I have it at theprovisionsproject.org, theprovisionsproject.org.
Right.
And we'll find the information about the bill online and post both of them on our social media. Good
Thank
luck. Keep us
so
posted.
Much.
We'll help you out when we can in the future as this rolls out too, okay?
Thank you so much, Doc.
Thanks, Annette. Appreciate you joining us.
Knowledge is power. Tweet at us with the hashtag #WhatILearnedToday. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.